Anyway, I have a very exciting presentation for you today. Is anybody here doing portfolio analysis right now? Show of hands. Does anybody here believe that you can do this, get this going in less than 2 days? No, nobody believes it? How many disbelievers do we have? Okay, good, good. I'm gonna change your mind. I hope. I hope I can change your mind today. 2 days. 2 days. It's a very short period of time. What makes it difficult? Anybody who are my doubters can tell me why you don't believe it? People, meaning. Well, but you're doing the portfolio. You decided to go do portfolio analysis. You're in the PMO. There's only three or four people in the PMO. Now, what's stopping you from getting this done in 2 days? Quality of the project data. That can be an issue, absolutely. Julie. Creating the business drivers, you're right. That's a tough one. But do you need the business drivers to do portfolio analysis? Maybe. We need something, right? We need, because of the way the system works. So 2 days. The reason why I'm suggesting that this can be done this easily and this quickly is because of the additional tighter integration we have with SharePoint. In this case, the four investment areas Microsoft made was the project client integration with SharePoint lists. I feel really weird up here, like being down here, but I can't do the demos from down here, unless my arm was a little bit longer. Creating projects from SharePoint lists, that's an awesome new feature. Task list integration, meaning the ability to bubble up task lists in SharePoint into so that they can affect demand and availability. Although they do it in a crude way right now, it's a pretty cool feature when you think about it. And finally, the work management service that aggregates all the tasks and will put everything into Outlook for you or put everything into your My Sites page. So all your tasks in one place, all your work in one place concept. It's really brilliant, except it lacks the ability, though, to track time because it doesn't support time tracking. But it does, if you're building a massive task tracking program, it does an amazing job. And it uses a provider model so that you can attach this to a system or other systems where you're managing work. So it's very possible to, it's very extensible, like everything else Microsoft does. But what I'm looking at today is the ability to create projects from SharePoint sites. This is our enabler for making it much easier to get to portfolio analysis from Excel. So this new ability gives us an opportunity to do our ideation in SharePoint. We don't need to submit project proposals in Project Server anymore. We can build this in SharePoint. Now, that SharePoint list, in order to import into Project Server, must be part of your PWA site collection. But it can be a list in the site collection. It could be a subsite in the site collection. Doesn't really matter. I should carry this thing. So step one is to get the spreadsheet into SharePoint. Remember, we're talking about seven steps, the name of the presentation. So the small steps are involved are just the same as the big steps. What I have to do is I've got to select an app and import a timesheet, I mean a spreadsheet. So let me show you that. So here's the home page of my plain vanilla project web app site. As you can see, you've seen this many times today. And what I'm going to do is slide. Well, I was going to use the carousel. Here we go. Add a list. That takes us to the Add the Apps, Your Apps page. Now there's a little app here on the second page called Import Spreadsheet to Excel from Excel. I'm going to click that. I'm going to call this Ideas. This is going to create a list for me. I'm going to browse to my import workbook. You click the import button. Now, I don't have a list here or anything yet, right? It's going to pop up a dialog in a second. So in my spreadsheet, I have the spreadsheet defined as a table. You don't have to do that. You could select the range. It just makes selecting it a lot easier when you cast it as a table. People familiar with using tables in Excel? Right, so it gives you a new set of tools, by the way, to use once it's a table. You get your whole Table Tools tab. So I'm going to go ahead and click this Import button and wait for it for a moment. That list was taken out. Okay. Hold on a second. Let's try this again. We'll call it the idea funnel. So a little leftover. I have run this demo a few times. Go back and wipe everything out, right? But something gets left behind. So this should go fairly quickly. See how good the network connection's running in here. Bada boom. There we go. Idea funnel list created with all of my project proposals. Two pages, I got 50 of them in here, so 1 to 30 here. That was easy, huh? Even with screwing it up, how long did that take? Even with talking about it, right? 2 minutes. 2 minutes, we've got 50 proposed projects in SharePoint. What's the next step? Well, the next step is to prepare the project online instance. Now, in this case, let me get my little cheat sheet out so I don't mess up. So I make sure I create all of my fields. Now, this is really one of the longer steps that we have to take. So the small steps that we have to do is we have to go to PWA settings. We need to create lookup tables. We need to create a location and complexity lookup table, because these are fields that I've got in the spreadsheet. And the fields that I have in the spreadsheet that I need to move into project server are proposed finish, proposed cost, high estimate, location, complexity, and priority type. These are the fields that were picked up from my PMO Excel spreadsheet. So we go back to the demo. How do we do this? Well, while I'm here, let me grab this URL before I go into the next demo. Let's edit the links. We're on the page, might as well take care of this. I know I'm going to need strategy, because that's where we're going to show portfolio analysis here. I want to add a new link for my new idea funnel. And I'm going to call it idea funnel. And I'll paste the, and I'm going to put that under projects. Just my choice. No rules about this. And you know what? This is going to be a PMO site. I don't need tasks here. So I'm just going to change before I do this next step. So now I've got my navigation set. And it just so happens it takes me to the page I need to be at to start making enterprise custom fields. So first I'm going to create my lookup tables. And this is all being done, by the way, on my personal tenant on Project Online. So this is exactly what you're going to experience when you do this. So first I'm going to create a lookup table for my high, medium, and low complexity values. So I'm going to call it HML. Very sophisticated naming. High, medium, low. Created my first lookup table. Now I'm going to cheat a little on my second one so I don't screw up and you don't have to watch me type. but here are my location codes. And I'll create another lookup table. We'll call this locations, with or without my fat fingers. See why I'm not going to make you watch me type this all. So I paste the values in. I've got my second lookup table. Now I got to go create my fields. Now, of course, you've got to create your lookup tables before you create fields that use them. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck. So now I can go create my required fields here. Wait for it. Thank you. I think I spend more time waiting for the screens to change than it actually takes to do this. So I need a proposed finish field. And these are all going to be project level fields, so that makes life easy. But I need a date field for this value. So I'll save that. I need to create a couple cost fields, my proposed cost and my high estimate. These are the fields that my PMO is using in their calculations right now in spreadsheet. We don't want to change anything drastically. And this, we're going to use a cost field. And that doesn't require a lookup table. Now we'll create our high estimate cost field. Sorry. Save that one. I promise you this is the most boring part of the entire presentation. But I've got to prove a point, right? Am I cracking any of the doubters yet? Now, priority type is our going to use our, what am I doing? We want a text field, we want a lookup table. Actually, no, this is a number field in my case. No lookup table. And then my two fields that will use lookup tables. One is the location, and that'll use the locations lookup table. And we'll save that. And the next one is complexity. And that's going to use our high, medium, low lookup table. And this should not be here right now, so I'm going to delete this. I didn't quite do my housekeeping correctly. Okay, so I have all my custom fields that I need right now. Have we spent 5 minutes creating custom fields? Was it more than 5 minutes? Less than 5 minutes. We spent more time waiting for the, right? Okay. So what's the next step? Step three, I'm in steps. Well, we need to get our SharePoint list into Project Server now, right? So what are the steps involved in doing that? We're going to go to our new proposals list. We're going to optionally change the view parameters. We're going to select the Create Projects button. We're going to map our custom fields. And then we're going to click another button, and we're going to wait for it. So let's show you how that works. I'm going to navigate to my idea funnel. And you'll see this new it's Create Projects and Project Server. So if I select all of these and I click the button, and this is the wait for it part, Actually, this is right before the wait for it part. So project name maps to project name, proposed start maps to start, proposed finish maps to proposed finish, currency we don't, proposed cost maps to proposed cost, high estimate maps to high estimate, location to location, project complexity to complexity, priority type to priority type. Now, we don't have to fill these in because the system will fill these in automatically. Click the Create Projects button. Now, remember, SharePoint view, and this is the wait for it part, the SharePoint view only displayed the... I'm importing the first 30 right now. When it's done, I'll flip the page and I'll import the rest. Now, what I've discovered, a little gotcha here, that if you go past, for some reason, the magic number on my system seems to be 44. It kind of chokes. Something times out if you do too many at once. And remember, project's doing a lot of work during, a lot of things are happening right now. You're creating a project record. You're creating a project site for that record. So there's a whole bunch of provisioning going on. 30 new projects are being created all at once. Boy, this is slow. Yes, 30 out of 30 have been imported. I didn't even notice the message come up. So let's go grab the last 20 that we have, select them all, repeat the process. They're already mapped. Notice, and every time you do this in the future, they'll be already mapped. You only have to do that once. You don't have to do it on every import, unless you change the list, which is an entirely possible thing. Oh. You know what? I don't think something actually went wrong. I have a funny feeling they actually made it. But it may have been doing some background processing. So let's see. There's only one way to find out. Let's see what we got in the project center now. I see that error come up from time to time. But usually everything's made it. It looks to me like everything made it. So sometimes you can ignore that. Just check. You can always go back and retry. So it's not, there are some little quirkiness in this. So we've got 50 proposals into Project now, into Project Center. Okay, maybe that took 3 minutes. All right, 3.5, were you timing me? So you got the stopwatch? Okay. But have we spent, how much time have we spent so far? We started at 10:30. We're like 15, 16 minutes into this presentation. Do you know where we're at right now? We are at this point. We have an ideation framework created, and we're ready to do cost analysis. Now, disbelievers, how many of you have changed your mind at this point? One or two? Nobody? Do you think maybe I'm headed into a correct? Oh, okay. Still don't believe me. Well, I think you need proof, right? Okay, let's see if we can do some proving around this. Why don't we go to portfolio analysis? We don't have any business drivers yet. I'm going to create a new analysis. Call it proof. I am going to prioritize using a custom field. I'm going to select my projects. Just move them all over. Click OK. And we can't analyze our resources yet because we're not ready for resource analysis, but we are just ready for cost analysis. Did that take the click? Here we go. So this is real life speed, folks. I think, oh, well, you know what? I'm running on wireless. No wonder why. It seems slow. So custom field, I need to choose a custom field here. So I'm going to use my priority type field. That is what the PMO has been using. And this field only has values from 1 to 3, which makes it suboptimal. Did I not quite hit the right button there? There we go. Better. More better. Next, we're going to review the priorities. Now, this is where things get interesting, because we used a custom field with a value of 1 through 3. So this is the fatal flaw with doing things like that, and it illustrates the value of business drivers. So the business drivers, as you know, some of you are familiar, you do this whole pairwise comparison, and you rate your projects against the business driver, and the algorithm turns away and it figures out on a score of 1 to 100 what you, all their projects, what their score is, at what percentage of value they're contributing to your strategic initiative or your strategic value. So you end up with a score of 1 to 100. Now, if this field, because this field only has three values, everything with a 3 is going to get the higher ranking. Everything with a 2 value is going to get the same ranking. Kind of primitive. So a score, if you're going to use a custom field for scoring, it's better to use a score, turn this into a score of 1 to 100, go through the exercise. Now I could, what's interesting here is I could go to delete enterprise objects, wipe out all these projects, go back to my spread, my list, put it in a data sheet view, and just like Excel, go and change all those values, import them back in, and I could have my whole thing portfolio rescored. And if I don't like the results there, I can delete them again and go back. And I can do that because I'm playing in my own little sandbox here. This is not an enterprise project implementation. It's not a project management implementation. Now, it could be, we could be doing this in one big instance, but I'm going to suggest to you that you think of keeping your portfolio analysis playpen as separate from enterprise project playpen. Especially because lots of things are going on in the enterprise resource pool and with enterprise projects that may affect what we're doing here. And I choose in my modeling I want control of all the inputs when I create models, because I'm a control freak. Anyway, remember, we're taking these tools and we're using them as crystal balls, trying to predict the future. So everything we're doing is hocus pocus to some extent. We're trying to objectify a very subjective process. And so it takes time to get there. But nonetheless, if I get all the way scrolled down here, I can analyze cost at this point. So my point to you is that we're now 20 minutes into this, and I'm doing cost analysis in the system. Are there any disbelievers here that you can do this in 2 days? I think I won you all over with that one, huh? It's amazing. In 20 minutes. Now, if things were moving a little faster, we could have shaved 5. I could have talked a little faster, said a little less, and be down to 15 minutes. But I can do this sitting alone in about 11 and a half. So you can do this in 2 days. We're already, are we not an order of magnitude ahead of where we were with the Excel spreadsheets? So what are you going to do with your 90-day trial? If you were wondering what to do with it, go back here and impress the hell out of your executive management. Look what I can do, Bob. I can do cost analysis. I can use this fantastic tool. We can buy it for $800 a month or less. And we can manage our multimillion-dollar portfolio. So I've already got an efficient frontier, and as you can see, it's quite inefficient because of this stupid rating thing that we've done. So if you're going to do portfolio analysis using custom fields, the way to do this is to also include cost field. So that, and I would recommend something like net present value. I know that nobody talks about NPV anymore. I don't know why. I mean, some companies will use IRR. I think that's a very short-sighted measure, because it doesn't really look at the benefit. And I'm sure you've heard about benefits benefits, a lot about benefits in the conference already today. So we want to put measures in here that are going to give us something to chew on. So you can use a priority rating system, but couple that with capturing benefit, some benefit value. Again, I recommend net present value. That is a true measure of what the project's delivering. If you're monitoring net present value on a project, you'll know when to kill them. And sometimes that's the hardest thing. I struggled as I'm a recovering PMO director. That's how I got into this product to start with. I know your pain, those of you in the PMO. I know it very well. Try to convince the boss. Try to convince the CIO we got to kill the project. And then find out it's his pet project. Well, the only way you're going to do that is show them the numbers. And that's what I did. I said, here's the net present value. Here's our current burn rate. And by the time we get at 6 months down the road, unless we can drastically change this thing, we're wiping out all the value of this project. So let's kill it now. Either that or let's change it radically different. And showing them these numbers, you can get a project killed. It's very hard to kill projects in most organizations. So in 20 minutes, I'm doing portfolio analysis. Yay! That's awesome. Could I have done that without this little improvement to Project Server? Maybe another half an hour to cut and paste into a data sheet view. But now getting it into Project Server is so easy, right? Whoops. I should keep my glasses on. There we go. Nope, I want a PowerPoint. Proof. So best practices around this. Somebody said data integrity. Who was that earlier? The quality of the data. It's really important that you've got good data in the spreadsheet. You know, half the time I walk into companies that they pull out the, oh, we've got this all in the spreadsheet. I'm like, what about all these missing values? What's up with that? How come these are costed? So if you don't have a good input source, we've got to deal with that. Other things, pardon me? How do you improve the data quality? It's just a brute force exercise. What did you say? Baseball bats. Yes, that you can carrot and the stick, right? So hopefully we can use the carrot to get people there. I find the best way to improve data is to make it up and then show it to people. Yeah, give them something to scream about. Oh no, that's not right. Well, then what's right? You don't, if you're not telling me, you know, that's the number I'm. So same thing, any of you, any business analysts here? You almost have to be a business analyst, good to be a project manager, yes? What do you get when you walk into a stakeholder meeting with a blank page? You get blank stares back at you. So the best thing, I'll never go into a requirement session without a straw man. And I'll sit in there and I'll make up all the data I want to make up. So they'll all scream at me and tell me what's wrong with it. But if I give them the blank page and say, what goes here? I don't know. Could be. But if you put something bad in there, oh, that's wrong. Don't. Use that. Now, there's a lot of things we can do with the SharePoint fields. Right now, our SharePoint fields, they don't have value lists that match our current. Because I just imported the data, they're just text fields. Now I could add value lists. I'm going to transition the site into the ideation site. So I want to enhance my SharePoint custom fields. I may want to add validation to those fields as well. I would consider, now I just created a list in the Project PWA site, but you could create a whole idea, a subsite for that and use all the other goodies of SharePoint and make it a little more social and that kind of, you know, social buzzword, right? And, of course, adding a workflow for the process in the ideation site in SharePoint. And we also have some best practices to look at possibly doing in Project Server as well, Project Online, Project Web App. So confusing, isn't it, having four names for every product? And then they change them every other year. Consider implementing departments. If you're going to do this in your overarching enterprise you're going to combine this with your enterprise project management, you're going to want to isolate this, because you're, and you'll see why. You probably want to isolate this by using a department, and you'll want to consider implementing the EPT with a workflow. And so, for instance, there's some gotchas around this. You need to activate the project proposal workflow on the site in which you're creating this list. Otherwise, you don't get the ability to create the projects. So that's simple. You go into the site settings, site features, and enable it. Very simple. So you need to do that. In my case, I enabled that in the whole PWA site. And you can also enable it in a subsite, so people aren't doing it just anywhere. There's also these list apps. They're not all created equal. I tried every permutation. If you create a simple list in the SharePoint, you will be able to import projects. If I use the table tools in Excel to create the list, I won't. And there's the app that create, there's an app in there to create a list. And when you use that one, it won't work. It won't give you the items to, it won't allow you to import the items into SharePoint. So I expect that the tables options in Excel is using the code in that particular app to create the sheet app to create the list. So those two methods do not work. They end up with bad results. I mean, they work, but you just can't get them in the project. So that's an important gotcha. Now, I was talking, the next step here is building the capacity model, step four. Now, this is where I'm going to get all radical on you. It's not the enterprise resource pool. I believe the enterprise resource pool is a very bad place to get your capacity data. Why? Because it's constantly changing. So I want you to think outside the project. I want you to think outside. And there's this forget, borrow, learn concept in innovation. Chris Trimble and his co-author, Vijay Govindarajan, I'm going to butcher his Indian name, I'm sorry, Govindarajan, Vijay and Chris, have written a number of books published by Harvard Business Review and other publishers on innovation. These guys focus, Chris is, they're both out of Dartmouth, and they focus on innovation. And they have discovered that what you need to do to innovate or change is you need to take a lot of what you know and bundle it up and forget it. Not saying forget it, but put it aside and open your mind to new ideas. And if you can't do that, you're not going to be able to innovate. So what I'm suggesting you is that we take a new innovative approach to this, one that gets us the results much, gets us from point A to point B and results much faster. This is what Justin Bieber sees when he wakes up in the morning. Actually, no. This is what is happening in your enterprise resource pool. This is, it's like a black hole event horizon. You know, I use the kaleidoscope image to represent this because every week it's twisting and turning. The long tail of your projects, which stretch into your plan, your future planning window, are wagging like the tails of dogs. They're going back and forth as things change. Somebody does a horrible update in one of your projects to push it way out to into outer space, right? All the way to, oh, now it can go all the way to 2100, right? Not just to 2059. The world doesn't end in 2059 anymore. That's a new improvement for 2013. We recognize the world will go beyond 2059. It's important that all understand how portfolio analysis works in Project Server. It takes, when you do an analysis, when you first set up that analysis, it takes a snapshot. And that's a snapshot in time. So if I do my analysis on February 1st, on Monday, February 1st, when I come in and start another one on February 8th, I'm working with a different snapshot. So that baseline of capacity is constantly changing. Or maybe it hasn't changed because nobody updated their projects and it's wrong anyway. So, you know, I've been inside hundreds of companies and looked at hundreds of enterprise project management implementations. This is normal. This is what's happening in there. It's never going to be perfect data. We can't control what's happening in the enterprise resource pool. So, but we can control a separate set of resources. And this gives us a great opportunity. This is personnel psychology published, written by Ernest O'Boyle and Herman Aguinas. O'Boyle is Longwood University. Aguinas is from Indiana U. I'm apparently pocket dialing my, which is muted, but apparently whatever the Siri logical replacement is in the Windows Phone is, I haven't learned how to use that feature, but it does occasionally talk to me out of my pocket. So in this study in 2012, these gentlemen suggest that the normal Gaussian distribution for personnel effectiveness is really a Pareto distribution. So in the Gaussian distribution, half of the people fall above the average and half of the people fall below the average. But when we look at it as a bell curve, we realize that the 80-20 rule is coming into play. Right? 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work in the organization. And those are the people that are often referred to as bottlenecks. Our bottlenecks. And we have them, right? At DBA, if you're in IT, there's one DBA that everybody wants. Got to have it. If there's one developer in the legacy department that my project won't work unless I have Bob Smith. And if I don't have Julie on my project, it's not going to work. So there's an opportunity for us to identify our bottlenecks, excuse me, our rock stars. Right? Our bottlenecks are, we're going to remember, the bottlenecks in the organization are typically our most talented people because they have the most demand placed on them. So wouldn't it make more sense to, in our resource capacity model, to separate those people out, identify them as resources, right? Opportunity. If we decouple from that enterprise resource pool, we can build a model that works for us, for future planning. And we can control all of the little inputs. And we can take the information we need from the enterprise resource pool in our model in a number of ways. We could create stubs for those projects in our proposal list. We can discount their availability in our capacity model. So there's a number of ways to get around that. And what I'm saying is that we also need to, in order to do this and do this quickly, we need to simplify our generic capacity. See how we can do that. And what I'm saying to you, if we simplify all of this, we're going to amplify our potential. Building a capacity model. Now, one of the things I hear, how am I doing time-wise? Pretty good. We're going to get a better state in even less time. Building a capacity model, one of the objections I hear from people is, oh my God, I've got to build this whole resource pool. I've got 200 resources. No, you don't. Let me show you. Don't need to do that. What did I do with my glasses? I had LASIK. I was profoundly nearsighted a few years ago. I can count the trees on the mountaintops now, but heaven help me if I see anything this close, you know. Okay. Let's go into project. Now, I cheated a little. I did a little baking before we got here. Now, what I did is I have maybe 11 roles in here. I noticed I prefaced the roles with Cap 1 because I just want to suggest to you that we don't have to have one capacity model. Now, we've decoupled from the enterprise resource pool. We could have a whole bunch of sets of resources. That we're, so for doing what-if analysis, pessimistic, optimistic, not so, whatever we want to call them. So I just decided I'd preface them. Then what I did was I copied and pasted that list, and then I did a control H, and I just cut out all the cap ones. Now what I need is, so these are my roles. Now it's important to know in project, the way portfolio analysis works, a little different than the way project capacity works. When you look at capacity in your resource pool, the system accrues capacity for generic resources. So every generic resource when you look at your capacity in the enterprise resource, you need to filter that out when you do your reporting and your dashboards. I hope you all realize that. Generate capacity, so we need to filter that out in our reports. However, when we do portfolio analysis, the system ignores generic resources, so it treats them exactly opposite of the way project treats them, or PWA in general treats them. So otherwise, as anybody familiar with the tool, there's no way to filter them out in the analysis. You get what you get in that snapshot. So when they first launched this, the generic resources, I remember because we're part of the TAP, and Brian Kennemer, who was an MVP at the time, and myself, we both noticed this right away. Wait a second, we're double counting resources here. How do we get them out of here? So they did make this change before 2010 came into production. So it's important that you understand that. Now, I'm just going to show you a quick cheat here. I need to create a custom field with these roles. So I'm going to go ahead and do a little copy and paste here. And I'm going to go to my project tab and my custom fields. And I want a project. I just want to create a resource field, sorry. And I want an outline code. And I'm going to call it I'll just call it Z-Role. And then I want to fill out my lookup table. I'm just going to paste that in. Now I'll close. And there's my Z-Role field. Now notice it does a funny thing here. I don't know why it does this, but now I've still got that data in my clipboard. So I'm going to go back up here and paste the real actual value in. And the same thing here. And paste them in here. In the meantime, what I want to do is I'm going to go ahead and save this. And I just wanted to show you a trick with the custom fields and project server. So let me find my outline code. Add field to enterprise. Is anybody familiar with this little guy? Yes, of course, Dale Howard, you're familiar with it, my co-author, my amazing co-author. All right, so I'm going to call this role, and I want it to be called role. Now, it wasn't until recently that this actually worked. I mean, it made the field, but it also put the outline code in brackets, so you had to go back in and clean up the name in Project Server. So I just added that field to Project Web App. So I click OK, and the reason why I saved this in this state is I need to exit out of Project completely, and in order to pick up those fields. Everybody knows how the Enterprise Global works. It reads them on the first try, right? Hello, oh, now I can't. What the hell? It's my scary desktop, sorry. Connect back to my instance. Come on. So I got to pick that field up and now what I'm going to do, wait for this thing to connect so I get back into the project. Lovely. Suppose it's doing something. Let's try again. Just love it when a demo comes together like this. It's so convenient. Maybe it's just having some connectivity issues. I don't know. Looks like we've got connection. Well, you know, what's even more interesting is that we're at the project conference, and, you know, I was having technical difficulties with this system. So I finally acquiesced, okay, I'll move all my stuff over here. Guess what's not on this system? Microsoft Project's not on here. They didn't put that in the build. Imagine that, somebody wanting to use Project in one of these demos. Okay, so we seem to be going nowhere, and I have no idea why. I've never seen it do this before. Well, maybe we're just hugely slow today. Oh my. So let's go back to our, of course I opened up the wrong one. Or is it the wrong one? I don't think so. Oh, yeah, I think it is. This is the one we were working on. Too many versions here. Now, this is the trick. So, first of all, remember I told you, generic resources don't create capacity in the system. So I need to model these. That's why I call these my capacity resources. These are all need to become generic. So I'm going to fill out that role and do that in preparation for moving this in. I get them all now. There's always one little bugger in there. Okay, now here's the trick. I got capacity. I've got a team of five DBAs. I've got three business analysts. I've got four systems analysts. See what I'm doing? Do I need to build a whole resource pool? I've got 20 .NET developers. I've got 10 legacy developers, and so on and so on. I'm not going to sit here and do everything. But here's my capacity model. Now, the next thing I should be doing, right, is adding some resources here. So this is my opportunity. And this is something you could never do in an enterprise resource pool. Identify a resource as a rock star or a bottleneck or a critical resource, because it just wouldn't look good. It wouldn't be PC. Somebody, LCA and Microsoft would stop you if you work for Microsoft. So someone's going to get their tail in a twist over that. But if we're in our own little world, and that's why I'm saying decoupling this from our enterprise resource pool gives us a lot of flexibility. We can go in and turn these knobs any way we want. So here's our opportunity to discount availability in the future. We can apply resource calendars. So we can use all of the techniques available to us and have full control. We've got all of those little knobs to turn. And that's what I want to suggest to you. That's what one of your big takeaways from today is, to free yourself from your enterprise project management system. Create your own bubble here. And if all we're doing is doing portfolio analysis here, it's easy enough to spawn projects from these in the enterprise resource pool, in the enterprise project system, right? All we have to do is take our selected projects, export them into Excel, import them into another SharePoint list in the ERP, in the enterprise project management system, and make projects out of them, just the way we did here. And that, how long did that take? 10 minutes? Well, we don't have to do the field. So in 4 minutes, I can move that, and then they can start a new workflow in Project Server and be controlled by governance. Everybody getting what I'm saying? Does this sound good? Does this sound crazy to anybody? All right, so everybody's going to go out and break the connection. I'm just going to stop here, because there's really, I mean, everybody knows that I can import these in the Project web app now. But that would be my opportunity now. Now I go model this. So instead of, so I have out of my four, well, there's one DBA, right? So I'd probably make that DBA, so let's say it's Sarah M. You know, I'd say Sarah's going to, I'm going to model her separately. Now I may identify her by name. I could just say Rockstar DBA. You know, I could put Rockstar number one if I want to hide the names of who I'm thinking about in case somebody broke into my little world. But remember, we're operating in our own little bubble here, we can do anything we want. No one can say boo to us. Who's looking? I mean, who cares about this stuff anyway? So We built a capacity model. So the step five, and this is the one that takes a little bit of time, is to build the demand model. That means resource plans, attaching resource plans to these proposals. And we do that. I'm sorry, there's just no fast way to do that. And there's no easy way to get that data into the system if we had it in spreadsheets anyway. But it doesn't take that long to do if you know what the plan is to enter that stuff for 20 roles and create your demand model. The small steps involved in doing this, and I think we don't need to demonstrate. I'm not trying to teach you how to use the tool today. I'm trying to show you a way to get value out of it quickly. So I'm not trying to show you every detailed step here, but the detailed steps are pretty simple. You open up the proposal, you build the team, you build your resource plan, you publish the resource plan, and you rinse and repeat for all 50 projects. So that's just a matter of spending some time. Maybe a day to do 50 resource plans. But when you're done, now we're ready. We can go back and do, we're capacity and demand ready. So do you realize what we've achieved at this point? With probably in less than a day, we can have this all, well, depending on how many projects you have. If you have 150 proposals to build resource plans, you might need that whole 2 days to get this done. But once you get this done, you're able to do cost analysis, and most importantly, you get the grand prize. You can do your resource analysis. You can do your capacity and demand analysis. That's amazing. And we couldn't have gotten here this quickly in 2010, but we can in 2013. And with Project Online, you don't have a week of install and tech ready, you know, 30 minutes, you spin one up. By the end of the day, you've got a system to show your stakeholders. That's what you should be doing with your 90-day trial. Step six, the business drivers. And I call this optional because it's tough to get the business drivers, right? We heard that in the audience, right? The business drivers, the business drivers. But it's not all. But we don't need business drivers to do good cost analysis. We do if we want to be able to manage, do strategic analysis. Or better strategic analysis, but we can still get there with custom fields. We can still do it without this. The important thing about strategic business drivers is that they're measurable. That's the key. And I mean measurable like real numbers that we can apply. So whether we're measuring benefits or whether we're measuring any kind of value, we've got to have real numbers behind it. So if you need statements like saves more than 2 million, you've got to be really specific in order to be able to make a good impact rating for your projects. No, because I mean, this is a dollar impact. Well, let's say I improve employee morale as a strategic business driver for me and my portfolio. Maybe I'm doing an HR portfolio. They're not looking so much at cost as they're looking at improve employee knowledge, or so, and then we have improves by, again, a different kind of measure statement, by 10%. No, your different drivers can have different value statements, different impact statements. So, like I say, an HR a business driver, I might, that could even be part of my overall enterprise strategy that I want to improve employee morale. That's very important because I get better productivity out of happy workers. So then we're going to say improves morale by 10, or maybe measures fewer than 3 people leave the company in the quarter, each quarter, or fewer than between 3 and 5 people leave the company is a little less value. So, but something that's really measurable. If you can't put a measure to it, it's not a driver. It's not driving your business. Generally, people measure in money for most of these things. Yeah. Well, net present value, he's asking, well, if you can do that, you can also include. Yes, you can use, you can do the strategic analysis using the system algorithm, but what's to stop you from taking different approaches with net present value in a custom field? Or I could take the ratings from the strategic analysis, copy them, and paste them into a custom field. say, okay, I've run the strategic, now I want to run it through again with the custom fields and net present value, because I can't combine, the system right now doesn't allow me to combine the strategic value with other values. With the, it doesn't allow you to mix them. I think maybe it should, but I think the system needs to be a lot more flexible. Let's remember that they brought this over from UMT in 2010, and there was no substantial investment made in this since 2010. So I still see it as a first release, like first release for Microsoft in many ways. So, but approaching it the way I'm approaching it, so what? Where it's going to cost you $60,000-$70,000 to get any competitor product that's going to do what we're doing already here for in 20 minutes and for no money. So, to me, it's a no-brainer. I'll take it with all its warts and horns, and I'll work around it rather than spending $60,000 or $70,000 so I can get a slider button that moved the dates or, you know, you're not getting better calculations out of other products. You're just getting some better interface work. You know, people have focused on just making the interface slick. The small steps for this process. So I lied. This is a journey. It's not a step. And it's a never-ending journey, right? And it is getting everyone into a consensus. It is a bit like herding cats. No question about it. Meet with the stakeholders. So while you're doing this, all I'm saying is while you're trying to get to your strategic business drivers, don't let that be the obstacle to stop you from getting value from the system. You can still do great analysis. It's an order of magnitude or several orders of magnitude more potent than just using an Excel spreadsheet and formulas and guessing and changing. And I've watched how people do this. It's not pretty. Not pretty at all. The optional EPT and workflow. Again, what does this give us? If we're combining our systems, if we're doing this in one system, then we want those proposals to flow into projects. So at that point, whether we jump them into another system or whether we flow them, we want to follow that with a project plan templates, project site templates, right? And we want to make sure our process and governance is embedded in there, and we get there with workflow. So an enterprise project type, just to remind you all, an enterprise project type is a project plan template, optional, because if you don't assign one, you get the blank normal template. Project detail pages are absolute requirement. Those are the pages in PWA that allow you to edit the custom fields and detail of the project above the schedule. Optionally, a workflow. Well, if you're going to deploy 2013, I'm going to come and spank you if you don't build a workflow. Because with SharePoint Designer makes it so easy, at least get started. I don't want to hear anybody creating an enterprise project system with 2013 without a workflow. Governance workflow. If you can embed, somebody have a question? Sandra, oh, it was just a fist pump on workflow. Okay. SharePoint Designer, anybody tried SharePoint Designer with Project Server? Yay, couple, got to do it. Who's here using 2013? See, now I have to come spank you. I have to spank you. Sorry, you line up at the end of the presentation. Just kidding. So at this point, if we've gotten this far, we're the full boat. We're governance ready, we're strategy ready. We've gotten the whole enchilada done. You can take your time getting there. And it's going to constantly evolve as you get better at this process. It's not a fixed thing. Your business drivers change over time. You have to keep revisiting them. That means you have to keep herding the cats in the executive office or wherever your cats are hanging out. Got to keep herding them. So let's review this. 7 steps. Excel to SharePoint, 2 minutes. Project Online, 5 or 10 minutes preparing that, right? We import the proposals. Well, if it doesn't crash on us, it's a couple minutes more, right? Maybe 4 minutes with a crash, right? Then we create our capacity. I showed you how fast we can do that. 15, 20 minutes, I can have a complete representation of a capacity model. We hit the red, we got to make a time investment to get that demand model in there. and then the business drivers and the enterprise project types, and however long this takes you to get there. And like I say, these two are constantly evolving. You're constantly improving them anyway. So you can. My point is you're getting 80% of the value in less than 2 days. You can get 80% of the value of this exercise in less than 2 days. That's amazing. Maybe that's all you need to make a big difference in your organization. Maybe you never have to get to that strategic analysis, because the toughest thing we face is trying to figure out how much can we do. Not how we can always figure out how much it's going to cost, but our struggle is that resource number. What is our capacity? What is our demand? How do we allocate these resources in the future? So I might be 100% of the value for most companies just getting to that point, and I want you to know that you can get to that point in 2 days. Unless you've got thousands and thousands of projects to, and that's a nightmare all by itself, right? Today, I want you to go and commit to trying this. You've got 90 days of that system, so this is what I want you to do. There's no time like today. So I had to strike this out, right? I had to strike out. I was going to say, request a partner-led trial, but you all got one. By the way, that was also my suggestion. I couldn't believe it when it came through last night. I saw that in my email. I said, oh, yay. So I said, everybody at the SharePoint conference, at the project conference should get a trial. And you know what? Everybody at SharePoint should get one too, I think. I'll have a harder time winning that battle. So if you have any questions for me, if you want to ever contact me, it's gary@shepetz.org, my first name, at my last name. You can join our LinkedIn group. I have a LinkedIn group. We're always happy to answer questions. I do moderate it so that you don't have to get all the flotsam and jetsam in there. When people start posting spam, I put them on moderation. So you can guarantee that we're going to stay on topic in our group. I don't know how we're doing time. We might finish a lot early here, huh? So, questions? Anybody? So I wanted to finish quick just to show you how simple this was. That was the whole point. So are there any doubters? None.